Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 9th of September. I am your host, Paul White. We are back from a weekend in Mobile, Alabama, where I ministered at Pure Grace Church with my good friend, Lynn Hiles. That's the pastor there is Justin Benoit. Let me just say, and I go every summer, the last few summers, to Pure Grace. If you are in the Mobile, Alabama area, go see my friend Justin at Pure Grace Church. This is a tremendous ministry and one in which a couple of different Grace churches came together. And it's just an exciting thing to see what God is doing in South Alabama. I highly recommend you go check them out. The sessions from that set, we'll have the Q&A on a long form Friday at some point, but I also ministered on Saturday morning and Sunday morning. Dr. Hiles ministered on Saturday morning and Saturday night, and I'll have my videos and audio available on our weekend. We air those sermons on Sundays. They will eventually be up. We're several weeks behind. I don't want to get into it today. Later in the week, I'll tell you what's coming up on the weekend edition, but we are several weeks behind of getting to that material. Okay, we are supposed to be going into the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians today. As I was preparing to do that, I read context. So I rarely pick up my Bible and read a verse where I don't read 3, 4, or 5 verses in front and 3, 4, and 5 verses behind. That's if I'm just perusing. So if you were to say, hey, what's such and so? Such and so book, chapter, verse. Go look that up. I would, and then I would read 4, 5 in front, 4, 5 behind. So as I was studying the 8th chapter, the first verse, now concerning things offered to idols, etc., etc., I wanted to go back and see what got us to that place. And of course, that's the last verses of chapter 7, but that's the tail end of the married instructions, widows and virgins. And I realized that we covered it all, we read it, but there's something there that I think I would be wrong in not going a little deeper into, particularly since 1 Corinthians is written by Paul, and then so is Romans. And Paul does something in Romans with some information he drops in 1 Corinthians. Ironically, and it is truly ironic, or at least coincidental, that they both appear in the 7th chapter. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says this, verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. And then, of course, he says she's happier if she remains as she is. How does he know? Well, he says, according to my judgment, but I think I have the Spirit of the Lord. That is one of the more pretentious moments, I think, in the writings of Paul, is to basically say, she's happier if she doesn't get remarried, as if he could possibly know her happiness. Now, there might be more to that. We should dig deeper into happier and what that might have meant in the first century versus what it means now. I'm quite sure it probably wasn't the same thing. But the point here is that in this 7th chapter, he makes a statement that is derived from his knowledge of Torah, in which a wife is bound by law. By what law? By Jewish law, not by Roman law. She's bound by Jewish law as long as her husband lives. If he dies, she's at liberty to be married to whoever she wishes. In Romans 7, so you can always remember that in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul deals with the woman being freed by death of her husband. Romans 7, so both 7s, listen to Romans 7, 1 through 6. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. Romans 7, 2 and 1 Corinthians 7, 39 are almost the same verse. They're both pulling off of the knowledge of Torah. They're both talking about a woman being bound to her husband by law. The 1 Corinthians passage is in a literal sense that, hey, don't forget, you keep this in mind. This is interesting because in chapter 6, all things are lawful. Chapter 10, all things are lawful. But in between, it's not as if Paul's trying to put marriage back under the law, but he's reminding his reader, listen, there are good reasons for some of those instructions. So in chapter 7 of Romans, this is not an argument about divorce. His argument in Romans 7 is that you are married to the law and you need to be delivered, and the only way for that to happen is for a death to be exacted because you can't divorce the law. Romans 7:3, so then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress, but if her husband dies, she's freed from that law so that she's no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Notice the law is not dead. You died to the law. So it wasn't the law that died, it was you that died. Where did you die? Through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Paul mixes his metaphors in the middle of Romans 7:4. First half of the metaphor. The cross is your death, therefore you died in your first marriage. The resurrection is your new husband, therefore you're married to someone else. He mixes it, basically saying, Christ served as both sides of your covenant. He both dies so that you can be released from the law, and he raises so that you can be fruitful. Bear fruit to God is sort of a pregnancy statement. I mean, within context, it's a pregnancy statement. You're bearing a child. You don't bear children for the Lord, but you bear fruit to God. How do you do it? You're part of the resurrected reality of Christ. For when we were in the flesh, this is Romans 7:5, when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. In other words, in the natural sense, when we were under the law, we bore the children of the law. We reproduced what the law does. What's the law do? It produces guilt, shame, condemnation. We produce those every day. 6, but now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So now we serve God through the Holy Spirit, not through the oldness of the letter. And this is the part that gets missed, I think, sometimes in grace communities, is we talk about being released from the law, and thank God we are, but we don't talk enough about serving through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has taken over the role that used to be played by the law. The Holy Spirit is not helping you keep the law. That would make the Holy Spirit subservient to the law. That would still have the law higher than the Holy Spirit, and that's been a tragic byproduct of poor teaching on the Holy Spirit from the beginning, is that people, or at least for the last several hundred years, is that we've made him too much an influence rather than someone who is literally in us. And so now we are serving according to the newness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I threw that in. I know that's Romans 7, not 1 Corinthians 7, but I felt like that 1 Corinthians 7:39 gave me the perfect opportunity to do that. So tomorrow, we go to chapter 8. I told you 2 days ago, or I told you yesterday we would, but I mean it. Tomorrow, chapter 8, verse 1. See you then. God bless.